I spent tricky the last couple of days. I don't know if you noticed the rain or not. But, yeah. And I was talking to the animals two by two as they were going by my house. And I said, should I mention it? And they said, no, don't say a word about it. But I did anyway. But while we often spend most of our time, you know, thinking, oh, if it just rained, right, you know. And then when it does, well, thanks be to God. Oscar Wilde once said, you probably know this quote, but he once said, I can resist anything but temptation. And I fully understand that. I really do. You know, there were three temptations in the gospel today, and I thought that's wonderful in some ways that Jesus only faced three temptations, because I face three temptations every morning before I have breakfast. You know, so temptation and sin go together like peanut butter and chocolate, you know. And Lent and temptation certainly go together, and this is when Jesus, beginning his ministry, really, at this point, he will face these temptations, and then he will truly begin his ministry as Messiah and God's only Son. In order to do that, he was led by Satan into the wilderness. And I can understand, because often when we need to work issues out in our lives, you know, whether they are temptations or directions that we feel we should go, it makes sense. You don't have to go to the wilderness, but it helps to go someplace by yourself to reflect and make decisions. Of course, this is where Satan comes and tempts Jesus to command these stones to become bread. And he begins, it's interesting, he begins with the word, if you are the Son of God, right? Because that's kind of the key to the temptation, really, is you need to prove that to yourself. If you are the Son of God, you could take these stones and make bread out of them because you've been fasting for 40 days. And Jesus immediately responds by rejecting that. And behind this testing is a question of Jesus of identity. Who are we in God's sight? That's our question. We know that we're not the Son of God, so to speak. But we do have to ask ourselves, who are we as we stand before God and as we do the work given to us to do? And I was reminded of these words from the baptismal service that says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. And if we're looking for an identity as a Christian, that's the identity that we have. We are a child of Christ, washed in the waters of baptism, anointed with the oil, with the sign of the cross. We belong to Christ, and we will therefore forever be. It seems like Jesus at this point in his ministry was tempted because he just wasn't sure. Am I the human side, if you will, of Jesus? Am I who I believe myself to be. That is the temptation of Satan there, and Jesus easily turns that around. Just as he turns away the idea that he would take stones and make them into bread, because as he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the scriptures. In other words, my needs and your needs are more than our physical needs, our hungers, our tiredness. Our needs are also deeply rooted in the Word of God that comes to us and guides us in our lives. God's Word feeds us just as much as bread feeds us. It is what I need. It is not how my power is used. And God's Word that feeds us is very much like Holy Communion that feeds us, because it is a spiritual feeding. It is a spiritual strengthening. You know, you may not have heard of Calvin and Hobbes, but some of you have, I suspect. Calvin's a little boy, Hobbes is his tiger. In the very first cartoon of Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin is setting a tuna fish trap. He's got a tuna fish sandwich, and his father asks him, what are you going to do with that tuna fish sandwich? He says, I'm setting a trap to catch a tiger. And this really amuses his dad, you know. And in the next frame, we see the Hobbes upside down in the trap, one leg, you know, being suspended by one foot. He has a sandwich in hand, however, and he's chewing on it. And he says, we're kind of stupid that way. You know, we are tempted. You know, this is something that tempts us. And given that temptation, we're kind of gonna give in. And of course, I love Calvin and Hobbes and the many adventures they had. But I also love the many temptations that Calvin faced, many of which he was not able to resist. But we can make better choices. Bread and tuna fish, the temptation, or God's Word. Now, Satan also brings Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple, and which seems like quite a miracle all by itself. Suddenly he is at the pinnacle of the temple. And Satan says again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple, and the angels will lift you up. If you are the Son of God. This is, of course, another way of trying to not only tempt Jesus, but it's a sort of a foolish thing, you know, to try to show off as if Jesus did magic tricks, you know. And we know that Jesus does not do magic tricks. Jesus indeed came not to give us a show, but to give us substance, to give us a deeper relationship with God. Not something that people can just go home and brag about. Boy, did you see that? Jesus falling from the temple. The angels came And of course, the idea behind that in Satan's idea is if people see that, they're gonna have to follow you, right? But that, again, is not how Jesus wishes to be followed. He wishes to be followed because of who he is in God. Where do we see Jesus most completely? Where do we see this temple actually being fulfilled? And that's when the temple of his body is hanging on the cross as he gives himself for the forgiveness of sins. Not a magic trick, not something just for the masses to ooh and ah, but rather on the cross, the glorious symbol of God's love. Now, there's such a thing, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's called the shiny object syndrome. In the shiny object syndrome, someone is easily attracted, better to say distracted, by the shiny things. Do you understand that? I kind of suffer from that a little bit, because as my wife knows, I like to shine things. I like to polish things. That's one of my favorite things to do, because I like the shine that comes from them. But I don't want to be fooled by the shininess, because the shininess, again, is not the substance. I might be attracted by the things that are shiny and go, oh my, look at that. But rather, I become distracted by them and confused by them. The thing about that is that the shiny object does that. It distracts us and gives us the wrong goals or the wrong means to an end. I saw someone recently who was being interviewed on TV. It was a real interview. And it's a young man, you know, about like this. And in his interview, the television person was saying, do you want to be successful? And he thought about that and he said, no. What about money? Do you want to have lots of money? No, not really. Well, what do you want? He says, I want to be famous. And I thought, oh, it's so, you know, there's so many people for whom that matters. You know, they want to be famous. They want people to talk about them. They want to be recognized, rather than they want to have made a contribution in Jesus Christ, or a contribution that makes this world a better place. Much better is the thought that at the end of your life, you're not famous, but you fed people who are hungry. You're not famous, but you know people who were homeless and now are not, because of something that you and others do. Indeed, very often, the greater things in life are not done by one person alone, but by a body of people who gather together to seek not fame or glory, but to seek something more substantial, which is love and forgiveness and grace. And this is a wonderful thing about what Jesus is trying to do in the gospel, is to ask us to hold on to the things of substance, not the shiny toy, but the things that really matter and make a difference. And when Satan comes and tempts us and says, if you are a Christian, do this, you know, if you are a Christian, in that last temptation, fall down and worship me, which of course would be is meaningless. And that's the one thing that's interesting about, honestly, about the temptation of Satan, is temptation, or Satan does something, he lies to us. He lies to us because he's always offering us something that either he cannot give us or cannot help us. And that's something to think about when we ask ourselves, is this a temptation? One, does it belong to me, this thing that I want? Is it really mine to take hold of? Will it help me or my friends and one another? Is it real? These are the things that give us a chance to reflect and find God in this wilderness of life, and to recognize that he has a calling for us to be real, to be loving, to be caring, and to make a difference in this world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.